The Ticket.
A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Trifecta time. We better get moving here because we have to discuss the life and times of someone who has recently passed away and consider how much they mattered and whether they have the credentials to gain a room in the three-bedroom apartment in the sky. Is this room 608? Does anybody know?
I believe it is, but I don't remember if anyone's in it or not. Our fearless trifecta leader, DJ.
We have to reach him in the Alps.
Yeah.
But I believe room 608 is the next room, which is also the area code of Madison, Wisconsin, if you're curious.
Wow, what a special room.
And we bring in Donovan, who I think is with us.
Yes, Donovan is definitely with us right now.
Hi, Don.
How are you? Donnie, of course, adapterless today, so he's on the telephone.
Yeah, sorry about that. I can't find the adapter. I just don't know what happened to it.
Maybe your dog ate it.
Maybe he did. I'll just have to go and search some of his poo in the backyard. I'll find it.
Maybe he has, and maybe you'll be lucky and he has that virus that gives you explosive diarrhea.
I'll just feed him some
salad.
It's
easier to find in the yard.
He'll find it.
Feed him salad to get your adapter back.
All right, today, I think this is a shoe-in, but I don't know for sure. We try to induct the noted actor who is known for one thing more than any other, Sam Neill. Of course, Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park, the lead character in the seminal Steven Spielberg movie. But there was a time when he wasn't very well known. And his name, when he was born, his given name was Nigel John Dermot Neill. And as he said, he had a ridiculous British accent. He was born in New Zealand, but had an over-the-top British accent and was embarrassed by the fact that his name was Nigel. Even back then, in like the 60s, Nigel was known as like the stereotypical British name. And so when he was 10 years old, he told his mom and dad, start calling me Sam. You know how weird that is? And as he said...
So he identified as a Sam.
He identified as a Sam. He says he took it with inspiration from characters in Western movies. He said, it was probably the best decision I ever made in my life. Sam is easy to say. It sounds friendly, sounds a bit blokey, and has a touch of the Labrador about it, whatever that means. And it worked. And he goes on to study acting after that as Sam Neill. And he was all over New Zealand and the UK doing plays, as we hear about all the time with these actors over there, doing dramatic plays in certain circles. And you build your way up and you have a mentor and you start to gain a name for yourself. And in the 70s, he was known as a pretty serious London stage actor. And got a call in the early 80s for a role that he said he could not believe he was offered. Hollywood debut was in the... he played the Antichrist, Damien, in the Omen 3, The Final Conflict. Now, as someone who was a massive Omen P1...
Yes.
He scared the living crap out of me because this was the fully formed Damien. The first two Omens were about the 4 or 5 year old kid, Damien.
So he's like full grown Jesus age?
Yes, he is. Weird way to compare and contrast, but
well,
I understand
the
what
Antichrist.
You're saying. He is, he is. And then the second Omen was about high school age. Again, that movie freaked me out. Now he knew who he was, and it was 35 year old Antichrist knowing what he was and who he was and trying to take over the world.
Corby, if it freaked you out so much, why did you watch all three?
Dude, I know that you could never watch any of these because you can't watch devil movies. I don't know. I don't even know how I saw the first one. Like when I was 10 years old, I saw The Omen.
You're not going to acknowledge Antichrist?
Yeah, hey, Antichrist.
Did you bring Uncle?
Yeah, and thanks for the Thanksgiving yams that you made. I really liked it.
You're welcome.
Antichrist.
I would never go to her house for the holidays. I just couldn't even say her name.
So here is a little bit as Sam Neill in his very first movie in 1981 playing the devil.
Lisa, going to offer me the post of ambassador to Great Britain.
I beg your pardon?
Are you familiar with the Book of Hebron?
I don't know anything about the Book of Hebron.
It's in the Apocrypha, one of the more obscure backwaters of the Septuagint Bible. And it shall come to pass that in the end days the beast shall reign 130 days and 30 nights. And the faithful shall cry unto the Lord, Wherefore art thou in the day of evil? And the Lord shall hear their prayers. And out of the angel isle he shall bring forth a deliverer, the holy Lamb of God, who shall do battle with the beast and shall destroy him.
So it was just creepier than hell, no pun intended there. But he was great, and that launched him into the world of Hollywood. And as he said, it was such a strange transition moving from the stage to now suddenly he was known in Hollywood, and people actually wanted to hire him. The next really big thing he did was, he was in a lot of films in the 80s, but the next big thing he did was The Hunt for Red October, which we all saw, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was like a massive movie at the time.
It was huge. Sean Connery.
Yes. Yeah, Sean Connery was awesome in this and was in that run of Sean Connery. But here, okay, Saad, what is this scene, if you want to set this up?
Yeah, from, this is actually him talking to Sean Connery.
It is. Okay, here we go.
Then I will live in Montana. And I will marry a round American woman and raise rabbits. And she will cook them for me. And I will have a pickup truck. Or possibly even a recreational vehicle. And drive from state to state. Do they let you do that?
Yes.
No papers?
No papers. State to state.
And that movie, again, put him into another tax bracket and put him into another level of fame. And then 2 years later, Steven Spielberg calls him and specifically says, we want you to star in our new dinosaur movie, which he had tons of trepidation about, as I think the entire cast did, because how can you make this, how can you make it look legit?
Because Industrial Light and Magic, they developed these dinosaurs, CGI dinosaurs, yeah, and no one had seen anything like it before.
Right, and no one...
They didn't
one,
know what it was going to look like.
No, and they're shooting this movie just with the trust that it's going to look real, and... You know, in our head, we're like, yes, of course, it's Jurassic Park. But nobody knew at the time. And as he said, we just had to trust Spielberg. I mean, he was the director of the time. We're not going to doubt him. And so we shot this movie knowing all along, or praying, or hoping all along, that once... And for you guys, I don't know what you think of when you think of Sam Neill and Jurassic Park. My thought is... The first time he saw the brontosaurus.
Yeah, or when he's fumbling with his sunglasses.
We just watched this when we were in Hawaii.
Yeah.
We popped it in for family night. Let's watch it when we're all tired, and it was great.
Yeah, and that scene where he's blown away by turning around and he sees the dinosaur for the first time.
Yep.
Well, here he is in Jurassic Park.
Alan, this species of Veriformin's been extinct since the Cretaceous period. I mean, this thing isn't this thing. What?
More of a visual scene.
It is the moment, though. I mean, everybody that's listening has seen that before. That is the scene.
They could have been doing anything right there.
Milking a dinosaur.
He goes on to reprise his role as Dr. Alan Grant in the third one, and I think one of the more recent ones in 2022. Was it the last one?
Well, the last one with what's his nuts?
Jurassic World Dominion.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yes.
With Star-Lord.
Star-Lord? What's going on? Is he having a moment?
You know, Chris Pratt plays Star-Lord.
I feel like he's speaking in some sort of secret language.
I'm blanking on his name.
Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And then he goes on to do many other things. Peaky Blinders, probably the most famous. The last thing that I saw him in was a show on Netflix about he played the lead head park ranger in Yosemite, and he was awesome in it. Turned out to be the killer.
Spoiler.
Dude. Well, hey,
I know you've all got it on your VCRs.
Hey,
so,
Bill.
Sam Neill dead at the age of 78, which my son, who all kids have seen Jurassic Park, oddly enough, he goes, Dad, he was only 78. I'm like, you have that perspective now? Only 78? Like, wow, that's kind of cool. So, let's go around the room. Cam?
What's up?
Hey, yo. Cam,
let's do this all over again.
Does Sam Neill make it into the trifecta?
Bruh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Saad?
Absolutely.
Ham? Donovan?
Yes.
And that officially puts him in, as we all three would put him in as well.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you guys heard me mention quickly this morning I did a mini trifecta, because there's no way you would put Hal Williams into the trifecta.
Leading
so
E-News.
I had to do it on my own.
It's leading E-News, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, Dill.
So we'll have you on next week for your bitch fest, okay?
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. You better be lucky you guys are about to go to break. I have something to say.
What's that?
Nothing. I have nothing.
Okay. There you go.
Donnie.
Hi, boys.
Thanks for your Dan Campbell audio, by the way, from Tony Romo. We'll be using that.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay.
All right, Donnie. There he goes. Donovan Lewis, The Invasion 9-1.